This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's Mark Dolan with you. We will be eating the news shortly. This is a great track. This is Sonjim and Bow, something Jeremy Corbyn didn't really pull off this week.
Jumping out the bushes, repping for the pushers. You fucking 50 pound hookers in the tuckers. Zoom, zigger, zang, hammer butchers. 1-800 hustlers, the crew bring the motherfucking ruckus. I was born ready, I pour some more Henny. And when it's 420, I roll the strawberry. I'm on my grizzly out in Gotham City. I got you if you're trying to cop a 50, holler on the number, ring me. Shot liquor, tipping two bags in one swisher. Roll the long jigger, chunk till I'm mom killer. Oh yeah, shift the gear. Jumping out the German engineered in the waterproof weather wear. So jam with me two dimes and the fan with me. I'll be drinking mad Henny, holler when the lab's empty. I splash it on a stripper like it's Rack City. Cash strictly, damn Skippy, you know my steez.
Certain man on this Insta beef. 38 barrels spin full of plenty sweets. Bang, headshot, make your chest pop or leg got. Riddled in little Italy death plot. Man, the stress so real. It's death over skill. Oh, by death over deals, your folks are killed. Destroy when your folks should build. Arms house when all your folks chill. Man, they out here on that Instagram dugging. Forgetting who they are when they Instagram hustling. Test me, cousin. Niggas soft on some McLovin. Pull triggers. You running before the blood oozing from him. Nuff pussy olds holding on that nickel plating. Shell cases leave concave skull excavating. Broad daylight shootouts like Jesse Dane did. Snatch a nigga life up like European. Yeah. Slave shit.
Made the beat, now it's time to pen shit. Bold with the flow, cause I'm so distinctive. I'm still here, cause I'm so persistent. Let me make you aware I can go the distance. Yo, I'm about to go ballistic over beats, with bangs, spitting bars to injure. Arm to the head, to the leg dismembered. You're fucking with a pro that will beat you senseless. I've come too far to end it. I'm real talk, I don't do pretending. The God and Sonny Jim, I'm cold offending. I don't care any less if your name were mentioned. On the beats, I'm the one to really fuck about. Every day on the pads when I bang them out, bang them loud. Even at a show when I'm unannounced. Made a vow, after every verse, I'ma take a bow.
What makes you think I wouldn't pour whooping on a rap? I get it cooking, shit is crack, I get it cooking. Jab, jab it for a hook, I got this one in the bag. 100 miles of running, ain't nobody starting nothing. When I'm on the mic, with Michael Parkey drumming. Snatching off that dookie doogie house, I've been a hoopty. 40 ounce and a Uzi, quarter pound and a floozy. Should be dropping out the noggin, knock it off, I'm in the pocket. Get it popping off, who want it chopping? Cook it up and cop it like
somebody should have warned you. Why play with fire, you burn?
I love this rap shit, just been in tracks, I'm awesome.
It's like a glitch in the matrix. Somebody should have warned you. Why play with fire, you burn?
I love this rap shit, just been in tracks, I'm awesome.
It's like a glitch in the matrix.
The news on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, as luck would have it, I'm Mark Dolan, and this is Mark Dolan Eats the News. Oh, it's going to be a great show today. I've got to say, I feel fantastic. I've got more energy than a Russian athlete. I think it's because I'm going on holiday later. For some reason, I got very cheap flights to Sharm El Sheikh. I've heard the hotel I'm staying at is empty. It was empty. That's amazing. Now, a lot has been going on in the world since we last spoke. Facebook has hit 1 billion users a day, and I can see why. It has totally taken over my life. My life, thank you. The other day, I received a letter in the post and tried to like it. Thank you. Twitter has caused controversy by changing its star to a heart. Twitter, as far as I'm concerned, can do whatever they like as long as they don't change my profile picture to make it in any way accurate. One of the big shared online stories of the week is cats that look like Donald Trump. That's right, cats that look like Donald Trump. A lot of the cats featured said they'd rather look like Hitler. Stoptober was the most successful campaign of its type to date, helping over 80,000 people to quit the fags. Well done, guys. There's a new one this month for the obese. Put that burger down, Vember. A dog in the United States has made a stir with a viral of him getting the bus without his owner. He's become so popular in America, he's now the only serious opponent to Hillary Clinton. A hot, attractive maths teacher got hearts racing when he posed topless on Instagram. My maths teacher did the same thing when I was at school. He's in jail now. A student in Western Cape, South Africa, stole a bus. That's right, stole a bus in order to drive friends to a maths exam when the original driver failed to turn up. The good news is he got an A. A prison sentence. More good news, he's so good at maths now, he knows exactly how many times he's been visited in his cell by Big Jim in the dead of night. A cafe owner in Dublin has barred vegans from his cafe after they complained on social media about his menu options. The vegans were going to fight the ban, but in the end, they just didn't have the energy. Now, unfortunately, the internet is under threat here in the UK. In a set of beefed up anti-terror laws, the government wants to be able to study the browsing history on our computers. Personally, I don't think it's right. That's clearly your girlfriend's job. Now, last Sunday saw the final episode of Downton Abbey, a show David Cameron thinks is a documentary about his grandparents. Renee Zellweger was spotted filming more scenes for the new Bridget Jones movie. She said she was gobsmacked when she heard the movie franchise was coming back. She didn't look surprised because her face doesn't do surprised anymore. Marks and Spencer have developed a machine washable cashmere for jumpers and cardigans. No gag here, just that's amazing! Speaking of cardigans, the late great Kurt Cobain's cardigan has been sold at auction for $140,000. It's thought $10,000 of the value is because of his great reputation and aura and status in the world of rock, and the other $132,000 is the value of the mind-altering substances found in the left-hand pocket. Boris Johnson is off to Israel for a trade mission and to meet the public. Like those people haven't suffered enough. And finally, to get you in the festive spirit, Tesco are seeking a Christmas lights untangler. That's right, a Christmas lights untangler. It pays £6.70 an hour. People can bring their tangled lights in and they'll be untangled within 3 minutes. Applicants must be patient, love Christmas, and suffer from a severe form of OCD. Now, my guests this morning have OCD when it comes to just one thing: making people laugh. Yes, welcome to the studio, the professionally hilarious Rory O'Hanlon and Atif Nawaz.
Hey,
hello, how are you doing, Mark?
Boys, welcome to the show. It's been a massive week. We've got a lot to talk about, but I'm going to break the fourth wall for a moment. I'm just going to reveal the fact that Rory O'Hanlon, I mean, so Atif, you've been here since what, 9 o'clock this morning?
Yeah, totally.
And you've basically been on the PC, just like grinding out gags about the news.
Totally.
You look, in some ways, you look spent now.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Always.
Rory breezed in for my very last joke. I was 4 seconds away from saying your name, which is in the script, but you were not here. But you are here, and God bless you for that.
No problem at all, man.
It's just a reflection on the parlous nature of London's transport infrastructure, I'm imagining.
Disgraceful.
Definitely.
No.
Either that or you pulled last night.
Let's go out to transport.
And she's like, don't go! Rory, she, or let's not be prejudicial, he, I know,
it. Could be anything, or it, but it wasn't either. It was the transport system.
Well, I tell you what, it's brilliant to have both of you here, and we do have a lot to get through. That last job, which is the Christmas lights untangler, that's... That's a horrific job, isn't it?
It is. I think I'd pay £6.90 an hour just to never hear that phrase ever again. That's just... I can't imagine anything worse to do for money. Actually, you're probably good. But, you know, in the first world.
Never say never. You're a stand-up comedian. Where needs must. The truth is, can you imagine... Imagine if you had a sort of meeting with your line manager. Your job is to untangle Christmas lights, and the line manager's like, "You're the best I've ever seen. This is your calling. You were put on earth to detangle Christmas lights."
How many
lights.
Days a year do they work though? Like,
well, that's it. It's got to be.
It's like 2 days, and I'm out of here, man. I'm retiring.
I thought that there's an opportunity all year round for these guys. I'm thinking of the headphone detangling.
Yeah, no, there's other things. Maybe
which is a hardy perennial of the year, isn't
it? Yeah, and also, you've got to think, people start doing their Christmas stuff earlier and earlier nowadays, don't they? They've been, that's
why. Oh, you've just squeaked, that's fine.
Yeah, I can't help
it's
but
just the thought of Christmas.
It's just the thought of Christmas, I'm so excited, because it's so close, it's 40-something days away. So
do you know what, it's funny you should say that, but there is somebody who detangles those things. Someone has to do that. In my gym, there's a guy whose job it is just to fold towels. That's what he does.
Uh-huh.
And you
there's
think
people for every
for
job,
that.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
There's people, like, I'm sure there's some jobs in the porn industry that would be far worse than untangling wire. Well, it could be. You've got to be untangling some form of wire as well.
Well, like, I know, but if you're the one with just, like, the...
The fluffer.
You're the fluffer. It's not good.
Well, you know that's a made-up job, right?
How do you mean?
Because I recently interviewed an adult film actor.
I thought you were going to get in the road and say, I recently made
an adult film. I recently interviewed an adult film actress, and she told me that's not a real job. Nobody does. I am the fluffer, she said.
Oh, was it a British porn, though? That's a completely different ballgame from the US one, isn't it? They don't even get tea in the British film. It's like,
yeah,
get
that's
in
it.
There, son. It's horrible.
They don't even have an urn.
Oh,
they don't even have like custard like, cream biscuits.
Because like in the American one, like everyone's from LA, they've got the fake boobs. They've put a bit of effort into it. In the British one, like they're from like Derby or something. Do you know what I mean? They got the megabus down to make it. Like, you know what I mean?
I was enjoying my cashew nuts the other day, and then I had to spit them out because I was reading that in parts of the world where cashew nuts are shelled, people have got like terrible health conditions because they use this chemical which kind of loosens the shell. And then, the reason why what I took out of that story is, oh my god, somebody shells my cashew nuts.
Yeah.
This is kind of the Western world where there are these things that happen you don't even know about.
Yeah, but there's somebody out there putting these together. You know, these little shells, putting them together. That's their job. They wake up every day, they brush their teeth, they go to work, cool. And they start putting your cashew nuts together.
What I don't understand is why every single nut, there's like a hierarchy of nuts, because every nut is shelled on our behalf. Except the pistachio. Why do they decide to just phone it in with the pistachio format?
It's supposed to be all the fun of the pistachio, isn't it?
It is a barrel of laughs.
It is, yeah. Especially if you're trying to eat them on public transport. They just get everywhere.
I'm married with small children, so that to me is like entertainment. Shelling pistachios. I'm thinking of charging for it once I finish detangling Christmas
lights.
Yeah,
there you go, yeah.
Okay, well, let's take a look at some of the big stories of the week. First of all, Jeremy Corbyn, who it seems like on a daily basis is rebuked for some incredible gaffe or other. And I say that in inverted commas because it's a matter of opinion what a gaffe actually is. But, chaps, what do we think about this guy? Because the more he gets attacked by the press, this time for Remembrance Day, doing what was considered an unsatisfactory nod.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think the more he gets criticised, the more I start to like him and feel a bit sorry for him.
He's a bit like Doctor Who, though, or something, isn't he? Like, do you know what I mean? He's got that kind of look about him. I don't know if he's everything that the other politicians aren't. Like, David Cameron's Correct. Very uptight, and he sticks his willy in pigs and stuff like that. This guy's a vegetarian, isn't he? So he'd never do that. So, like,
yeah, you're absolutely. He would do it in a falafel.
Oh yeah, man. But I like him. Because I'm from Ireland, so I don't have a huge interest in British politics. But I do like this guy because he's kind of wrecking everyone's head, which I think is about time someone did that. Like, do you know what I mean? Because most of the British politicians are just like, God.
Well, that's right. I wonder whether he could actually be a bit of a thinking man's Boris Johnson. And by that, I mean a politician who essentially does everything on his own terms and may well garner public sort of sympathy and respect for just being so unairbrushed.
You're
not convinced, are you?
I don't know why British people are so unbelievably sensitive. Just take it out of context for a second. Just look at it. My God, a British man did not kneel forward 3 inches. This is sacrilege. This is appalling. We must go mad. Whereas there's kids out there that are trying to put pistachios together. Why aren't they getting the airtime? Why aren't they getting all the write-ups in the Daily Mail?
Well, I know. I mean, it is a very good point. The other thing I wonder is... Because obviously, I don't think anyone in this studio disagrees with the idea of acknowledging those who gave their lives for our freedom, and we're looking at people from all over the world, of all of the Allies who died to stop Hitler.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then, of course, the First World War. Many Irish people went to their death as well. It was a horrible thing. I mean, your great-great-granddad.
I don't like to talk about it.
I know. But I wonder whether there's a certain tyranny here.
I think
whereby,
it's all,
do you know what I mean? You've got to wear your poppy. I mean, the number of celebrities who have been castigated for being photographed on the red carpet and because the poppy wouldn't stay on their dress or something, and then they become a sort of... The whole point about a poppy is you choose to wear it. You shouldn't be forced to.
Why is everyone... Yeah, exactly. That's the most... that's it. You choose to wear it. If you don't want to wear it, just leave the person alone. They don't want to wear it. It's up
to
them.
Well, that would be a bit like having a birthday party and all of the people there have been forced to be there rather than, which is how my birthday parties quite often pan out.
Well, but here's the thing. What if people didn't know about your birthday party? Maybe if they weren't invited, they just happened to be there and they just thought they'd drop by. They didn't know they had to wear the 30 badge. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's some of these things are just like... I was just being nice there.
Yeah, so it's 25, man.
Absolutely, sorry. So this is the thing. Like, you can't hold it against people if they don't want to wear the poppy, if they don't want... He went there and he made enough of a gesture for it to be, you know, despite whatever his personal opinion is on the matter, which I suspect is a little bit different. Mm. He went there and he tried to participate. He did what he did, and he's trying to fit in and without compromising his morals, which I think people should respect.
Well, that's right, and it was not an ostentatious nod because he's not an ostentatious fan of this kind of process.
That's right.
Do you think if there was no press, right, there was no such thing as this? These papers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeremy Corbyn went to this thing, and there was like three people sitting in a room at home watching TV. That they would come up with the papers have come up with. They wouldn't say anything.
No,
they'd
of
just
course
go,
not.
Who's this dude? Oh, yeah, okay.
Well, no, that's right. I wonder because I know, Atif, that you are interested in politics as well. Mm-hmm. You've interviewed journalists and politicians and everything. It's another part of what you do. I'm wondering whether this is going to backfire. It only seems to be helping. Corbyn, in my opinion, because in politics the worst thing is to not be talked about at all.
That's right.
He gets coverage every day. It's Corbyn this, Corbyn that.
Corbyn had a loose bowel movement. Corbyn didn't use the X tile in his game of Scrabble with his. Yeah, absolutely. It's perfect for him as well because it covers all the bases. If the Daily Mail, which is traditionally considered a right wing newspaper, I cast no aspersions, right? It's considered a right wing newspaper. If they're going to give him insane amounts of coverage with what is really, let's face it, it's trying to be critical, but it isn't. And I think even the most staunch Daily Mail or right-wing supporter will look at that and go, it's not really a big deal, is it? But they have to see this guy's name, and that subconsciously is embedding itself in its consciousness.
And I feel that it was toxic for Ed Miliband, because I think Ed Miliband was trying to come across as a regular, trustable politician.
But how could he? And look at the guy.
Yeah,
just looking at him was enough for me to go, I would never vote for him if it was just me and him left.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, come
you trust
on,
yourself.
Like,
oh.
But
he's like,
a
really bad version of David Cameron.
It wasn't good, was it?
Terrible,
it wasn't good.
Terrible.
But also, what didn't help him was the press, who helped to sort of draw attention to his sort of weaknesses as a speaker and
as a human,
as a human being, maybe. but I feel like the press have just taken that template of the Miliband bashing and just replaced, tipexed out his name and put Corbyn in there. It's not having the same desired effect.
I think people are more aware of what's trying to be done with Jeremy Corbyn. Do you know what I mean? They're trying to get stuff on him that will try and sort of, you know, make him look, come across as he doesn't know what he's doing, or he's very anti-establishment. And I just think people go, he's just different to where if Ed Miliband, people will go, yeah, the guy's a bit of a plonker. But with this guy, I think people would sort of go, he's far from an idiot. Do you know what I mean? This guy knows what he's doing. He's sticking to his guns, like, you know.
He feels like a real person as well. This is the thing. Whereas Ed Miliband,
as
we keep saying, he tried to come across like so and so. Whereas with Jeremy Corbyn, he's a 3D person. He's not a Simpsons character. No, sorry, he is a Simpsons character. He's not a South Park character.
No, this is it.
This is just in the visual sense, by the way.
Now here's the other question, which sort of feeds into our discussion about politics, which is, when is it okay to do a U-turn? Because George Osborne looks like he's got his maths wrong, or at least his political calculations. And I wanted to raise this with both of you, because you've got a sort of platform that the Tories had, a manifesto pledge, which is to deliver a surplus for the economy of about £10 billion by the end of this parliament. That looks like it's under threat, because the political fallout from what would be cuts to the tax credits of those people who go out and get up in the morning and go to work look like they'd be under threat. Could George Osborne survive a U-turn? And wouldn't the public find it quite refreshing? Yeah, for him just to go, you know what, I got it wrong and we're not going to do this.
I think absolutely he would. He probably could if the public, you know, if he came out and he said that and that kind of refreshing honesty and openness about that, people would respond to that. Instead of doing a U-turn, I think he's better suited to doing a three-point turn because that way he can ease himself back to that angle. And, you know, just like, it's just, you know, I might have been wrong. I probably was wrong. I was wrong. So, you know, he's got to kind of ease people back into, because that's how our politicians roll, sadly.
I also think it's being cynical about it. I think it's early enough in the parliament for him to do a U-turn and for it to be forgotten.
Yeah,
and
man, plus, it's got 4 years.
Yeah.
And nobody's going to write about it. There's too many things happening in Jeremy Corbyn's homemade games of whatever it is he does. So, yeah, I wouldn't worry about it, George.
Because the problem is that it really does, it's an astonishingly, it's tens of billions of pounds that he's now not going to be able to save if he does do a U-turn.
Yeah.
And therefore, you just think, well, if he doesn't take it, if he doesn't do that U-turn, how's he going to pay for it? What's going to happen? Will they stop having pavements? I mean, what's going to go on?
Mm.
It's going to be horrible.
Can't they just make more money?
What, like print it?
Yeah, just...
They've tried that, haven't they?
Yeah, that's what happened to Greece, man.
Oh, yeah. Just make more money. That's hyperinflation.
It's not ideal. Yeah. Okay, well, you're listening to Mark Dolan Eats the News, and we have a rather exciting development on the high street, gentlemen. Lidl goes posh with a new look. That's just like Waitrose. Yes, indeed. Lidl is launching a bold plan to attract more wealthy shoppers by appearing to make its stores mimic upmarket rival Waitrose. The changes include ditching its garish blue and yellow signs for a more sophisticated wood and glass version. Self-service tills will be introduced, and the German chain will also stock more of its luxury foods, including lobster and quail. Right. So here's my question. As middle-class people flock to Lidl and Aldi, is the age of premium over? Are we the value generation?
I don't know. It depends, I suppose. I don't know about Lidl anyway. Like, it may be value, but when you go in there, you feel dirty coming out of Lidl. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it might be cheap. I think so.
Does it feel like legal shoplifting?
Oh, like you don't even know who's working there or shopping there. Like, do you know what I mean? It's everyone's all over the place, and they don't even have it. Like if you go into, I don't go into Waitrose, but I go into Sainsbury's. That's the type of guy I am. But if you go into Sainsbury's, things are in the right order. Like, do you know what I mean? You have your beauty products beside your health products, blah, blah. You go into Lidl, you have meat, you have like ironing boards, you have skis, Honda 50s. It's just it's out of control, man.
I don't know, maybe it's the Pakistani in me, but I really like the thriftiness of going to Lidl, you know, because there's something really satisfying about buying like 15 croissants for like 10p. It's something satisfying about it. Okay, they might taste like shit, but who cares? They were 20p.
That's right.
My dad's actually quite fond of it, so he goes to the mosque every day. He goes to pray at the mosque, and he, on his way back, there's a Lidl en route to where we live, and he just stops off in the Lidl. He goes and he buys himself a bunch of pastry. He comes home and he's super satisfied eating it. Now, he's a reasonably wealthy man, but he just enjoys that process. He set himself
into it. Well, that's why I wonder whether I think it sort of seeps into our subconscious is that, you know, after what people went through in the downturn, it was so prolonged, wasn't it? It was like 2008 to the present day. I mean, it's just been the most achingly long, painful recession.
It was like the longest funeral ever, like,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was shocking. And I wonder whether it has seeped into the consciousness of the Brits, because if you look at the roaring success of, you know, Primark, it's the fastest growing retailer in the clothing retailer.
Yeah, I think the quality
retailer
of Primark is quite good, though.
It's decent.
I think
the only thing about what does my head in about Primark, the first thing I do when I go in there is just tidy up.
Yeah, well, people don't care about
that. Half
place.
An hour of just putting things back.
It is
before
a bit
I
like,
can shop.
It is a bit like walking into a race riot, depending on where you are. But it is going mental. Yeah.
Was the there a war here?
There's issues with like the way they source some of the material, and you know, the kind of ethical.
What surprised me about Primark recently? I believe it's an Irish business, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't know.
Isn't it based in Ireland or something?
They may well be based in Ireland. I think they're American owned now, though. I think,
is that right?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like an Irish business, I've got to tell you.
I actually, because I do occasionally enjoy the Primark experience.
We can tell.
Just a little bit. Don't go near me, I'm highly flammable. A lot of polyester in this side of the studio. But I was sort of looking into it, and they defend themselves on the old the old sweatshop front by saying, because the problem is when the public see a t-shirt that costs £3, you just think,
how cheap do you think that was? Like, if it cost £3,
yeah.
Who do you think's making it? Mm. You're not paying someone £7 an hour to make a £3 shirt, like.
Well, I know. I mean, with this charge for carrier bags at Primark, the carrier bags are now more expensive than the clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, the most valuable bit when you come out, you might as well wear the carrier bag from Primark because it's. But it's they say that the reason why their clothes are so cheap is because they don't advertise. They also they basically choose a certain kind of styles of clothes,
well,
and then order like a
yeah.
million of them, yeah. and
they're
on brand.
They're
right.
branded as well.
That's right. They reckon that's how they do it, and they say some of their stuff comes from the same factory as like the Ralph Lauren. So more fool you.
I heard that before. Though my old man used to say that. He used to buy televisions that were made in the same factory as Philips. Do you know what I mean?
Right. But it was just a guy called Philip.
Yeah, man. It was a guy who lived next door to Philip or something. Do you know what I mean? And then they would never last as long as the Philips one. And then he ended up buying three of them before. Just buy the good one, I think.
But we are seeing, I think, a sea change in British shopping behaviour.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Tesco, our last quarter, revealed catastrophic losses in the tens of millions. And people are, you know, they're discarding the big out-of-town stores. They like to keep it local, and they like to go cheap now. Rip-off Britain is no more.
No, I mean, it's that Oyster card, you know. You really want to spend £7.50 to go do your grocery shopping? Absolutely not. I want to spend £1.20 on a bus, or whatever a bus costs. I don't take the bus. I bike.
Another big social change, and I'm curious how you guys roll when it comes to your domestic arrangements.
Oh.
The headline here in Mail Online, middle-aged but having to share a flat with strangers. You can feel the judgment in just the description of this, can't you? It's a symptom of our bonkers property market, the high-earning professional women living like students. Tessa Cook, who's 49, shares a Marylebone flat with three other professionals. 42-year-old Hannah Davidson had to rent when her relationship ended. Claire Pryke, 44, from Kent, lives with a flatmate that she met on a website. Professionals are living with strangers rather than setting up on their own, and it's all down to the astronomical property prices. Do we think this is true, and is there anything wrong with it?
There's plenty wrong with it because it's totally true. The one thing that I find hilarious, I live in Balham, right, which is quite a nice area, but I'm living in the little shoebox, like with three other people, whatever. But it's quite a middle class area, and you will always see the middle class parents coming back with their children. And their children. I think the funniest thing is when you see middle class parents been brought to these shithole apartments where their kids are now living, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is amazing, darling. I love the way you have no windows, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's so, London is just crazy, isn't it? It's so, like, even to buy like a shoebox somewhere, it'll cost you £500,000, like £600,000.
Correct. Yeah. And it is a big headache, isn't it? Because if London ceases to be a place where you can afford to live, you'll go somewhere else.
Well, you know, I think about this all the time, to be honest with you. Like, can I really afford to buy? I can't. There's no. My wife and I, we both work all the time. While I do stand up and she works. And, you know, we're thinking about how much time it would take us to be able to afford the bare minimum kind of thing. So I live in Wembley, northwest London. So there's a lot of new development. And there's all these little help to buy schemes and bits, things like that.
Mm.
But it's still extortionate. You've got to have something like 25, 30 grand lying around, and never mind what it's going to cost your legal fees and your deposits and all that bits and pieces. I don't know. And just the hassle of that process as well makes me think maybe I want to rent forever, I think.
Well, I know. I mean, I wonder whether this is the flip side is, can we become a renting society as they do on the continent? Because that's very normal in Germany. And Rory, you don't look happy about it.
No, because I still don't even think you get good value for renting as well.
No, you don't.
That's a problem.
I think in Germany you can rent your own place. Like, but even renting your... I don't think you can rent your own place in the area you probably want to live in. You always get like, oh yeah, I got a flat, it's 1,000 quid a month. Where is it? Oh, it's just an hour outside Milton Keynes or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't live anywhere near
my brother-in-law a few years ago, he lives just on the outskirts of Munich, which is a beautiful city. You've got the mountains for skiing, you've got lakes in the summer, you've got the beer gardens. And he had a four-bedroom house in just a very pleasant suburban street on the outskirts of Munich, and he was paying £1,000 a month.
This is it, like, yeah.
So I might have gone up a little now, but not at extreme. But what they have is they have a culture there of renting, which means that people who rent have a lot of power and a lot of
it's a different
sort of
world.
Rights.
Yeah, they have stuff like
whereas
that.
Whereas here, it's, I mean, that's the worst thing about whenever I've rented is to be so insulted at some of the properties that I'm looking at. and what the state they're being rented out in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is amazing. So maybe, you know, government policy will have to just adapt so that we accept, because I don't know, is it true that at a certain point in terms of property ownership, that the population becomes so large, people, not everyone can own their own property anymore? Do we have to give up that right to buy concept?
I think there has to be some kind of, I don't really know much about the property market aside from the fact that I can't really get into it, and as somebody who's kind of lived here my whole life, was born here, has like roots here, it's frustrating, especially when I know there's a lot of people, like a lot of London, I mean, I read somewhere, probably the Daily Mail, that that like something like 60% of London is owned by the Middle East, and that doesn't sound right when a lot of people that live here can't afford
but
to.
But the salads have improved.
Yeah, that's true. You can find halloumi anywhere.
Do you know what I mean?
That's pretty cool, you know?
I love that.
I love a bit of halloumi.
Okay, well, yeah, hopefully, I suppose it's one of those, in a way, it's a symptom of the growing inequality that we have in our country. This is a sort of accommodation.
But I think it is very much a London thing, isn't it? You can go to, if you were living in Manchester, or living in Leeds, or living in Birmingham, it is quite, it's not like cheap, but it's affordable. Mm-hmm. It's just you're living in the big city, and it's like that in places like New York as well. It's like that in Paris. Yeah. It's like that in all big major cities.
You are right. It's a problem. I mean, I've got a friend in Nottingham who owns a house. It's a 3-bedroom house in a pretty well located. And actually, she wants to move to Italy. And I'm like, oh, why don't you just sell up? You'll get really good money for that place. She's like, £160,000.
Boom. In Nottingham. Yeah, no, it's crazy.
Which is fantastic. And it's a great British city with a fabulous history. And
you can rent
and a flagship next. Hashtag what's not to like.
Yeah. I was in Leeds. You can rent I think it's like a 2-bedroom apartment in Leeds for £600 a month.
Yeah.
In Telford,
they actually pay you £400 a month just to live there.
Well, actually,
and the mayor, what happens is, on an annual basis, the mayor comes and just hugs you.
That's amazing. Yeah. A friend of mine just bought a property in just somewhere near Sussex, right? It's a 4-bedroom property, £36,000.
Sussex. See, that's what I'm talking about.
£36,000.
Yeah. It's a crack house, though, isn't
it? Yeah, I was thinking that.
You get free crack. What more do you want?
With a quite influential drug dealer living just next door.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, look, I'm sure that you guys, when you're on Live at the Apollo, you'll be able to buy a whole street. So that's
it. And then we won't talk to you then, so
you'll have moved on. You're listening to Mark Dolan Eats the News.
And Eats the News on FUBAR Radio.
How are you doing, man?
Scrub is a guy that thinks he's fly and is also known as a buster. Always talking about what he wants and just sits on his broke ass soul.
No, I don't want your number. No, I don't wanna give you mine. And no, I don't wanna meet you nowhere. No, don't want none of your time. And no, I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging on the passenger side of his best friend's ride.
And I know that he cannot approach me, 'cause I'm looking like class and he's looking like trash. Can't get with a deadbeat ass. So no, I don't want your number. No, I don't wanna give you mine. And no, I don't wanna meet you nowhere. No, don't want none of your time.
No, I don't want no scrub. A scrub is a guy that can't get no love from me. Hanging out the passenger side of his best friend's ride, trying to holler at me. Don't show love. Oh yes, son, I'm talking to you. Wanna get with me with no money? Oh no, I don't want no one.
No.
you in a class with scrubs, never rising. Rise up, I don't find a surprise, and if you don't have the cheese to please me and bounce from here to the coast of overseas. So, let me give you something to think about. Inundate your mind with intentions to turn you out. And forget to focus on the picture in front of me. Do it clear as DVD on digital TV screens. Satisfy my appetite with something spectacular. Check your vernacular, and then I get back to ya. With diamond-like precision, insatiable is what I envision. Can't detect acquisition from your friend's expedition. Mister, get with it. If you really wanna know, ask Chili. Could I be a silly hoe? Not really. T-bars and all my senoritas and stepping on your felines, but you don't hit me though.
Eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's Mark Dolan Eats the News, and in the company of Atif Nawaz and Rory O'Hanlon, celebrated and much enjoyed stand-up comedians. gentlemen, we will crack on, and I think we've got our candidate for the Mark Dolan Eats the News Legend of the Week. A drunk Ohio man, age 27, arrested after making a 9-year-old boy drive him to a gas station to buy barbecue sauce. There is so much in that story, Atif and Rory. So he was drunk. He was arrested after he had his 9-year-old. Nothing sinister going on here.
Yeah.
It was pragmatic.
Yeah.
And this is what you do when you're drunk.
The kid wanted sauce as well. Like, do you know what I mean?
I've got to tell you, it's offensive. It's really offensive. I mean, who puts barbecue sauce on chicken? Really? Come
on. It is so wrong. It's so wrong. Morally wrong. Yeah. But this is what I find is. I mean, obviously, look, here at Mark Dolan Eats News, we don't laud any such actions. A 9-year-old shouldn't be driving a car. It's not great for the world. But this is. This is the gentleman's commitment to condiments. And condiments are everything in life.
Condiments are very important, absolutely. I mean, can you imagine having chips, just chips, with nothing on them?
Don't even
no salt,
say,
no
don't
pepper.
Say those words.
Oh, my God. Some peri-peri sauce if you're feeling really adventurous. Now, here's I get it. I find it quite amusing, actually, the story in general. But think of the 9-year-old, the thrill. When you're a 9-year-old...
Well, it's a win-win for him.
You just want to drive, right? That's all you want to do when you're 9 is you want to drive. And who knows? Like, I mean, you read about all these Formula One drivers, right, who started driving when they were, like, 12 or 13 or whatever it is. Now, actually, this reminded me of a story where I was once driving through London, kind of in that Piccadilly Circus-y area, just after a gig, and I'm just about to drive, and I'm stuck in gridlock traffic, and as I'm in the car by myself, a drunk passerby just opens the passenger door and gets in and says, "Take me to a kebab shop." And I was like, "Well, hang on, I'm not a taxi, mate."
Did he have an Irish accent by any chance?
No, he did not. But he was just like, "Hey, man, like, I'm like, well, what do you think I am? I'm a cab driver. Get out of my car." And in the end, it was just too awkward. So I just the easiest thing to do
why
was to drive him to a kebab shop.
Why is this guy hanging out with a 9-year-old when he's drunk anyway?
Yeah, it's a strange thing.
Did he knock into his house and wake him up, or what was
the
story?
They were friends, and what happened?
How are you for to be friends? How's it? It's not a bit like
maybe he's a real lightweight.
Friends with a 9-year-old.
I think we should just leave that one to her. The more we look into that, more just, troubling.
Yeah,
it's not really about barbecue sauce, is it? But I mean, I think I do respect that commitment to have all of the accoutrements that your meal requires.
Yeah,
and by the way, this is a guy who felt that he was not in a position to drive. So I think a commendation from the local
constabulary. Well, he's been responsible, yeah, but he could have gone for someone a bit older than 9.
Well, that's the dilemma. If you are steaming drunk, what is that? You either drive yourself or you find the nearest.
I just don't see barbecue sauce.
Yeah,
half mayonnaise.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. Now, this is the thing, and this is what I want to raise with you, which is last Christmas, my very, very close to my mother-in-law is a splendid lady, and she almost shat herself with rage. Ooh. When we were having German sausages. I mean, you have to be really close.
That says,
wow.
To man, lose the that shows control. She was pissed off, man. Right. She took a shite.
She's well not happy. So we had a German sausage, which is a lovely thing, with sauerkraut and also some, I think it was like a German-style potato salad. Right?
Why all the German stuff?
Because she's German.
Oh, your wife is German?
Yeah, my missus is German.
Oh, cool.
Her mother is Austrian, so that's how they roll out there.
Yeah, yeah.
They love, they enjoy
it. You never said that, man. You were just saying you were really having a German Christmas.
It would be a bit odd.
A bit strange.
Just like, every year we choose a different nationality. Next year it's
Armenian Christmas anyway. Germans are all over Christmas. You know, the Bavarian markets everywhere you go.
They've nailed it.
You go up to Birmingham, they've got the German. Christmas is German as far as I'm
concerned. They bought it. They totally own it. Yeah. And so we were having the sausage and we're having these potatoes and we're having the sauerkraut. And I just, there happened to be some mayonnaise on a table and I put a dollop of it. I thought that'll do a job. And her thing was, you don't have mayonnaise.
That's when she took a shite, was it?
Yeah. You do not. Mayonnaise is not. So what it is with that dish, if you're interested, fun fact, pub ammo, is a mild mustard called Senf.
Yeah.
Right? So there you go. So that's what you... And then, oh God, so with... Turkey, you're supposed to have this stuff called red berry sauce, which they call prize.
Just relax a bit. Like,
where do you stand in terms of going? We used to eat tomato paste with your condiments.
Oh yeah, when we were my family growing up, we'd beans with everything,
right?
And we had tomato ketchup with everything. Mm. So, but when you go to other people's houses, you go, you don't have beans, do you? And they look at you like you're taking your genitals out of the table. You know what I mean? Just get over it, man. It's some beans. Who doesn't like beans?
I love beans.
They're class,
And it works for vegans as well. Like,
this is great.
Beans.
This is a sort of sinister glimpse into Rory O'Hanlon's broken childhood.
Yeah. No, we would. I had plenty of fun. Everything. Like, with beans and everything.
Beans on toast with some grated cheese on top.
I was never woken up in the middle of the night to bring a 27-year-old to to buy barbecue sauce. But as a young man, I was often in the car with people who had drank more than their fair share of alcohol when they were driving, so yeah.
Do you know what? I'd rather be in a car with some drunk people than someone that's had three cans of baked beans, I've got to say.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot
of cans of baked beans is just breakfast, man. We nailed it, like...
With some toast.
hash browns. I actually did, for example, why do these fascists say that you can have, and I don't think it's too strong word, what they
that's
say...
pretty extreme.
You can only have cranberry sauce with turkey, but not chicken.
I've never had either, so I don't know.
What are your favourite condiments then? What happens with you?
I play to the stereotype. I like chili sauce and peri peri sauce. That's an absolute favourite.
You're a big fan of Nando's.
I do like Nando's. Sadly, I can't afford it most of the time, so I just have to buy the sauce and sprinkle it on like chips at home and pretend.
Yeah,
sometimes I do put random Portuguese music on my iTunes in the background to feel like I'm there.
Well, listen, with all this talk of chili and all the rest of it, you sound like quite a tough guy.
Yeah, quite a hard
from the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Just a bit, which takes us to our next story. Why women love bad boys? Well, I think we knew this already. People with pathological traits have a better chance of finding love. A study looked at 1,000 heterosexual men and women with varying traits. And the bottom line is, as we feared, ladies are attracted to a bad boy. A man, I suppose, they feel is not perfect, but that they can change and fix.
Mm. It's all about what you can't have.
There you go.
That's what it is, man. A bad boy treats a woman, doesn't give a shit what he doesn't ring her, doesn't call her, doesn't blah blah blah. When he does meet her, it can be quite charming. Then he'll just leave her and not call her again. And the woman's very confused, and she just needs him.
Well, I think so. I think what unlocks him. We've got two female colleagues the other side of the glass, and are we agreeing that the bad boy is more attractive? Yeah, Natalie King, senior producer on the show. Yes. Here's the thing. I've got a theory about it, which is I think what is attractive to a lady, having grown up with two sisters and surrounded by women. But that's my qualification. But I think that it's a bad boy or a bad man who is
a bad man.
Who's just generally naughty, but who is nice to you. And this I think that's what the female craves. Like, I know he's terrible and he's a bully and he's this and he's that, but he's nice to me, and that's obviously like very.
That's all that matters.
Probably a little bit like, you know, if you're friendly with a dictator, you're like, I know that. Mugabe.
You just saw the wrong side of Hitler.
That's it.
That's exactly my relationship with a senior correspondent at the Daily Mail's like.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, oh God, he writes for the Daily Mail, but he's nice to me. I can't let him go. I love this man.
That's a hell of an admission.
Yeah, big time.
You know, that's worse than getting a 9-year-old to drive you to.
It's right up there. It's up there.
But it's the thing. You guys are nice. I'm nice. Mm. So we are. Essentially, we're destined.
We're nice to you, Mark. We're nice to you. Behind the scenes, we're awful
streets.
Men.
Yeah,
Rory, have you tried to rough yourself up a bit to make yourself attractive?
Yeah. Rough myself. You know this what I mean? Is it, man. This is me roughing it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you're interested in a girl and you're like, listen, I know I seem nice, but have a look at this video of me putting a cat in a bin.
Oh, yeah. That's me when I'm at my most.
I did get a bit edgy. In my sort of 20s, I thought, I'm going to edge up a little bit, and I did stuff like I'd go to like a Pret a Manger and I'd buy a sandwich, I'd say that I was taking away, and then I'd eat in. I did have my bad years.
They were your sex, drug and Pret a Manger.
Well, they are a bit, and obviously the girls love it. I mean, I turned heads, you know, they're like, who's this dude
with this Pret a Manger?
That's a roller coaster I'd like to ride on. It's FUBAR Radio, and his name of the show said by someone else.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Okay, now this is a little bit of a story to not hear when you're having your breakfast, brunch or lunch. And it's the British soldier who showed remarkable poise as he refused to flinch despite being vomited on by his fellow comrade just behind him. So this was part of Remembrance Sunday, which here at FUBAR Radio we have the greatest and humblest acknowledgement of and respect for what it's about. However, there is an amusing little sort of plot line here, which is that one of the soldiers has stood there and he's vomited on the back of his colleague. Now, these shows. What do they call it when soldiers do a
parade?
Thank you. God bless you for that.
Pleasure.
These parades are riven with health sort of dramas, aren't they? But I always think of the sort of North Korean ones where some poor soldier has been stood on his feet for 57 hours, who finally just collapses, just goes down.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously not a particularly pleasant thing to be involved in these parades. And therefore, it's going to really add to it by someone vomiting on your neck, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not going to, put that day in your diary, is it?
That's a good look.
No. So therefore, my question to you on this show, which is one of the big questions of the week, which is, has anybody vomited on you, or have you vomited upon somebody else?
Oh, I've got a horrible story. Do you want to hear it?
We're
just talking about bad boys and women, right? Okay, so I was 14 years old. I had a crush on this girl. I really, really liked this girl at school, okay? Now, she was going to this local fun fair that somebody had set up in the area, and I'd just gotten home. I didn't know she was going to this fun fair. Now, I got a call on my landline from my friend at school. He's like, hey, we've got to go to this fun fair. That girl you like is really going to be at the fun fair. I was like, okay, I'd love to go, but I've just put my fish fingers in the oven. I tell you what, I'll just undercook them a bit and eat them. It's fine. So I eat my fish fingers from the oven, undercooked, no beans, sadly. So there I am. I get on the bus, I go there, I get on this ride, and I manage to somehow, it's one of those spinny rides, you know, the ones that kind of go round and round and round and round, kind of standing
shocking.
Up.
I think they're called, are they called a Wurlitzer?
Some kind of, oh no, you're thinking of the waltzer, but this is kind of a big round circle where everybody's kind of standing face up and the thing just twirls around like some kind of weird washing
machine.
Kind of
thing that even Alton Towers would say, sorry, that's too dangerous.
Precisely, right? So anyway, I somehow managed to cajole my way. I cajole my way next to this beautiful girl that I've been totally in love with. I'm 14 years old. I'm like, this is it. I'm going to talk to her. We're going to maybe hold hands because she's going to get scared and she's going to take my hand and it's going to be beautiful. But of course, as the ride starts to go round, those fish fingers stop agreeing with me and it keep rising and rising. And as the ride gets to a full crescendo, I proceed to vomit, not just on the girl that I like, but everybody on that ride, because it's going round in a circle and there's just vomit flying all over the circle, everywhere, just puke everywhere.
No.
Fish finger puke. I was not invited back to Sudbury Park ever again after that.
It's not a good look. And they're picking off this food from their shirts and jackets, thinking, he had tartar sauce with us. You're not supposed to do that. Mayonnaise with fish fingers.
Terrible. Does he not know the etiquette?
That is a shocking story. But the good news is, because you barfed on her, your lovely lady that's in your life now would not be here if it wasn't for your dicky tummy.
That's a very good point.
But I think it's true. I mean, vomiting on a female, they hate that, don't
they?
Well,
it depends
on something.
You're the wrong
some
kind of bad boy.
There are places in Soho you can pay.
You could pay to get that done to you, like, yeah.
But has it occurred to you?
I've never puked on anyone, but I remember.
You don't drink, so puking is an unusual thing for you.
Yeah, but I remember once, I was living in Wimbledon once, and
you vomited.
No, I wasn't.
It's just
wasn't
too middle class for me.
I wasn't feeling well, I wanted to go to the chemist, but by the time I got to the chemist, I was puking every like 10, 15 feet as I was trying to walk. So it's not a good look, particularly in Wimbledon when you're trying to. It was very posh Wimbledon, so they won't come over and go, "Are you okay?" They'll just look at you puking and go, "That guy's gone absolutely nuts." It's like a scene from a horror film.
Yes.
But if you got lost, you could find your way home on the puke trail. That would be great.
It's not a good look.
I think what's so undignified about vomiting is, certainly for me, there have been times when I've been like had food poisoning or something and been in such a bad way that you don't have the strength to get to the toilet bowl. And so you wind up, you just acquiesce to it. And I've just remember times of just vomiting onto myself, just with my chin digging into my neck and just letting it out.
The chin digging into your Ralph Lauren shirt.
Yeah, correct. And it's not good. But the worst, I mean, I must say, you know, when people call in sick and they do these sickies.
Yeah.
The one time that nobody can work is when they're having food poisoning or getting sick.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, you can't, because you can't even stand up. And I remember working as a radio producer years ago, and I was in that state where I crawled to the phone. It's like that scene from Misery when the guy's trying to escape Kathy Bates, and he's just on all fours. And I called my boss. And the problem is, because I think broadcasting is a calling of mine, I never sound ill on the phone. So I was so sick. Yeah. And I'm like, hi, Bill, it's Mark. Just to let you know, I can barely speak. I'm so sick.
Yeah.
And he's like, you sound all right. Come
yeah.
in.
It's
not good.
It's 12:30. I will not be here today.
Yeah, exactly.
Now for the news and weather.
Exactly right. This is Mark Dolan Eats the News.
Mark Dolan Eats the News on FUBAR Radio.
Now let's raise the tone with a very heartwarming story. A bus driver who bought a warm winter coat for a shivering homeless man he passes every day on his route in an act of kindness that has made him an internet hero. Yes, indeed. Paul Doyle pulled over the number 10 TransLink bus in Belfast city centre before presenting the homeless man, who was wearing only a short sleeve t-shirt with a warm coat. The heartwarming gesture was spotted by a bus passenger who praised the driver online, and he's now become a complete legend and a hero. And it's a shame that this is an internet sensation.
It was all a plot. He knew your man, you see, and now he's going out with that chick. It's all bullshit, man.
It is, isn't it?
We're just
being
the Irish charm, huh?
Well, I've seen people do this stuff. Like, I mean, I don't mean to be skeptical. I'm sure he's a lovely guy, and he meant to do this, and it's a great thing. But I have seen people like say, "Oh, look, there's a poor homeless guy. Oh, I've got a slice of pizza. Let me give him this slice of pizza. Hey, can you Instagram it for me when I do that?"
Yeah.
It's just a little bit of like, come on, just do the good thing to do the good thing. But it is a nice. For whatever reason he did it, hopefully it'll inspire other people to do nice things as well.
You raise a good question there. Are people going around living their lives in a certain way in the hope that what they're doing will make it a viral sensation?
I wouldn't
for them?
Say about this dude. No, I wouldn't think so. He doesn't look like a guy.
He doesn't look like he's got a proper mobile phone.
I couldn't imagine this guy taking a selfie of himself, like, you know, hashtag on halls. Like, do you know what I mean?
No. That's right. I would imagine he's got probably a Nokia 8210.
Yeah, he looks like the type of guy that he could. The way he's standing in front of the bus, he looks like he's that big. The bus wouldn't be able to get by him. Do you know what I mean?
I was going to say
he's a big sturdy man. Mm. Like, do you know what I mean?
He is. He's a stout. But I mean, it's funny. I mean, do you guys? Because I just wonder whether everyone is a publisher now. That's the era we're in.
I mean,
as comedians, you're always looking out for material. I know that. Mm-hmm. But do you look out for stuff that has sort of an online potential? Like, do you do that thing where you take a picture of a sign which has got bad grammar on it and then leave a funny thing Facebook about it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that
hashtag?
How you
look at me.
Hashtag fail.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I can't do it. I mean, I think I've just come to the conclusion that I can't be funny on the internet. I can be funny on stage, and I can write jokes, and I can do that kind of thing, but I can't be funny on the internet. It takes a very specific skill set to be funny on the internet, and that's just not me. I mean, I really envy the people who can come up with very clever memes, or who manage to get the screenshot of the television just right, the filters, the editing.
Yeah.
I just want to go and get a microphone, tell a few jokes, go home.
I know. I think most comedians, we're analog, aren't we?
Yeah.
Mm.
We're pre-digital.
Yeah.
Pre-digital.
Which, speaking of which, and here's another curveball, I love giving you guys stories that you haven't seen yet or been briefed about or written 11 minutes of comedy about, which is that Sony this year have announced that they are going to stop production of the Betamax cassette format.
I hear. Who has one of those?
Now, the story is, what? They're still making it? They still make the Betamax, but they're stopping this year.
My word.
This is, sort of a bygone era, those brilliant, brilliant formats.
Oh, man. The Betamax is from the 1970s, though.
Like, classic.
No, what do people... Where would you even get a Betamax? So video stores are dead now, or DVD stores or whatever, like.
Is that how they punished like really shit movies? Like, hey guys, that was truly we're not even giving a VHS release, it's going straight to Betamax.
It's like, oh.
And I wonder, is it because we are so intoxicated with new stuff and with high tech?
Well, you know what I mean? Betamax has got to die out. Like,
well, I just wonder whether they could bring
next?
It back.
Can't use stones anymore.
I don't wonder whether that sort of campaign they could bring it back, and it's just Betamax reassuringly shit. Because in a way, stuff is too good now. Before we came on air, we were talking about my super slim laptop and my ridiculously large smartphone.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
But come on, Back to the Future.
I've seen Back to the Future on Blu-ray and I've seen it on VHS, and it's better on VHS.
Blu-ray didn't really take off.
It's
anyway.
Like drinking tea out of a proper China cup.
The thing is, it's too fast now.
When
you know, like when a new format came out, like when DVD came out, or like when Blu-ray came out, it was a big deal. You know,
but there was a gap.
There was a gap of 10-15 years.
From
But now we've got 4K TVs. Now they're talking about 8K TVs and ultra HD TVs and 65K TVs and full wall mountable TVs. I mean, there's too much. It's too fast. People can't afford. We can't afford to rent frats and flats and Balham. Forget about buying big TVs. So I'm not, I don't really mind so much. I never used the Betamax format, but I do the one format that I really like. I like the you know what? When I play video games, the old ones are always the best ones. So like when and I love games, so I played Call of Duty and all that rubbish nowadays. But my favorite game of all time is and always will be Super Mario Brothers, the original.
There you go. Yeah. And what an original hour of radio we've created. Yeah. I want to thank you so much, both of you, for not just your vomiting stories, but your wider contribution to what has been Mark Dolan It's the News. Many thanks to Laura and Nat and Neve and Will and the cast of thousands on the other side of that glass. I've been Mark Dolan. We'll see you next week for more Eating of the News. We'll play out with the brilliant P. Diddy and Bad Boy for Life, something that these lads are going to have to practice being.
Hey, yo.
P. Diddy.
You ready? Let's do it. Come on. I'm the definition of half man, half drugs, ass to clubs, bad boy, that's what's up, after bucks, crush crews after us, no games, we ain't laughing much, nothing but big things, check the hit list, how we twist shit, what changed with the name, we still here, you're rocking with the best, don't worry if I write rhymes, I write checks, who's the boss, dudes is lost, don't think cause I'm iced out, I'ma cool off, who else but me, and if you don't feel me, that means you can't touch me, it's ugly, trust me, get it right dog, we ain't never left, we just move in silence and rep to the death, it's official, I survived what I've been through, y'all got drama, the saga continues, we ain't going nowhere, we ain't going nowhere, we can't be stopped now, cause it's bad boy for life, we ain't going nowhere, we ain't going nowhere, we can't be stopped now, cause it's bad boy for life.
They look straight from the Harlem streets, I don't play y'all pussy down with the Harlem heat. All of a sudden, niggas got a problem with me.
Black, what happened?
They running around acting like the black don't care eat. And you know what?
What?
For some strange reason, I'm off of this medication, feeling deranged, needing for y'all to put the word out.
Come on.
We ain't leaving. We trying to be rich before we don't stop breathing. Therefore,
what?
We kind of hustle lanes. Stay laying down our muscle games. Still turn niggas' dreams to flames. You got the wire? If not, I ain't saying no names. You soon expire. No pain. I feel remorseless. Of course, it's me and Diddy up first racing Porsches with the big twin valve exhausts. On the cover of your vibes. Double X sounds and sauces, bitch.
We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped now. Cause it's bad boy for life.
We ain't going nowhere.
Since the Notorious, see everything's still glorious. We still got warriors, still be the victorious. See it's a lot of them, but it's more of us. Still got cash to blow, raps to flow. Steal them, catch the know, pack the flow. That's for sure, bottles to pop, joints to rock. Play the background, handle my jock, holding my Glock. Money to get, cost to flip, bars to sit at and sip cognac with juice to drip, hoes to see, make sure they knowin' it's me. Drop that D, can't believe that I am C. Bad boy to the casket drop, gotta love it, place nothing above it. It's on like that, don't believe we ain't going like that. For always gonna be here, read in, every motherfucker's here.
We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere.
We ain't going nowhere.
We can't be stopped now. Cause it's bad boy for life. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped now. Cause it's bad boy for life. We ain't
going nowhere.
Going nowhere.
We gon' stay right here.
We ain't
forever and ever.
We can't be stopped now. Cause it's bad boy for life.
We ain't going nowhere. We gon' stay right here.
Going nowhere.
We ain't going nowhere.
We can't be stopped now.
We gon' stay right here for life. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped now, cause it's Bad Boy for Life.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for listening to Mark Dolan Eats the News. We're back at the same time next Thursday on FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. And we kick off at 12 p.m. in the afternoon. If you're a public figure, best not to listen. It might put you off your lunch. Many thanks to Rory O'Hanlon, whose Twitter handle is R O'Hanlon Comedy, and also to the splendid Atif Nawaz, whose Twitter handle is Atif Nawaz, A-A-T-I-F-N-A-W-A-Z. I've been Mark Dolan. See you next week. Thanks, and keep it FUBAR.